morning, Farmington. Morning. Good seeing people here today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kelly Smith. I'm lead pastor at Grace Community Church. Excited to be here with you today. I got to come up here, and Glenn is in Rochester. We like to make that switch sometimes so that we can see each other. We can kind of see people we haven't seen for a while. It's a great time just to hear a different view of things. And Glenn and I get together and we talk about what the message will be. But the messages always kind of are a little different in how their style is given everything. So we love having, one of the things we love at Grace is having a whole preaching team. So you hear from different people. It's not just one voice. It's multiple voices speaking to the same truth of Jesus Christ. And from that, we can learn from other people in different ways. So it's a great, I'm excited to be able to be here today with you and be up here in Farmington. And so thank you for having me, whether you had a choice or not. So thanks for having me here. We are continuing in our sermon series called In Transit. And this sermon series is talking about when you're going through difficult times. When you're in the, like we talked in that song, when you're talking, sometimes you're in the valleys, you're still going to praise God's name and lift it high, even though you're in the valley. We're talking about those times. In between the good times, we sit there and go, I feel like life is going well, or I feel like things are really together. You have those times in between, it can be real difficult. And you're in transit from one to the next. And we're talking about those tough times and talking about what it means to have those tough times, but also realizing that through those difficulties, through those valleys, we can get even closer to God. And we can continue to lift His name up and continue to lean on Him and grow in our relationship with Him. And so last week, we got together and we talked about Job and how Job went through really difficult times. I mean, from losing everything he owned, from losing all his kids, from having health issues like wouldn't believe, to being in this horrible, rotten place where his friends were, his wife said, just give up and die. Just be done with it. And his friend said, man, you must have done something wrong because your life sucks right now. This is horrible. And he sat there and said, no matter what, I still put my faith in God. I still trust in Him. I still believe in Him. Even though I may be angry, upset, I still know that God is God and I am not. And we can learn valuable lessons from looking at how Job dealt with that, to sit there and go, he always pointed back to God. And when we see that, we can see that in our lives, when we're going through tough times, we can continue to look back and lean on God and point back to God through anything tough that we're going through as well. If we glorify God through those times, He gets all the credit for everything, whether it's good or bad. We go, God gets glorified in this situation. It makes that situation okay. Because if God's getting the glory, if our relationships are being improved with Him and with each other, that's not a bad thing. That is good. Not be what we consider we like or is good for us, but it is good if it encourages our relationship with God. So we're continuing in this sermon series today, and we're looking at tough times. It's a little tough right now for me to look at tough times because yesterday I had a great day. It was gorgeous. It was a beautiful day. My wife and I, we went up with the kids and we went up to her dad's house, and he has this like little camp that's on a river that goes right into Ossipee Lake. So you can take the boat kind of right onto Ossipee Lake. And then I don't know why we do, but we take the boat to Ossipee Lake and park it on the beach and sit on the beach when we were just at the beach house. I don't get why we do that, but that's what we do. And so we went up there and we had a great time together. It was a lot of fun because part of it was my daughter yesterday, she turned 13. So now I have two teenagers and no more little ones. So I have two teenage kids, and so we celebrate her birthday. But at the same time, we also had a party kind of for a bunch of people. So we got together and it was my whole family, my wife's family there, all of us got together. I will let you know, this is the first picture we have that everyone is in it, that not one kid is screaming. This is the only picture as a family we've ever had where one kid is not screaming. It was a Saturday miracle. It was really amazing to me. But we had a great time together, a lot of fun yesterday, but it was also kind of a sad occasion. Because it was a going away party for my sister-in-law, Becky. Her husband is in the Navy, and they're getting ready to leave to go to Pearl Harbor and go to Hawaii. And they're getting ready to head out there because he's being stationed in Hawaii. And so this was a really tough day because they were leaving, and they're leaving Tuesday morning, and they're going to be there for at least 3 years. They're going to be there at least three, maybe up to six, because he may end up retiring in Hawaii and stay there. So for us, it was a great day of fun, but also it was a tough day because they're leaving. They're going away, and it was specifically tough for my sister-in-law because she married him while he was in the Navy. She understood how this whole Navy thing worked. You're in the military, sometimes you have to go places that you're not excited to go. But so far, he's been in either Portsmouth, where they met, where he went to Connecticut, and now he's back at Portsmouth. It's been pretty easy. This is the first time that she's leaving and has to leave her whole family behind. She's got a 1-year-old or a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. They've got 2 little kids, and she's sitting there going, I have no one with me. I have no community. She's like, I'm going and I don't really have a choice. I could stay, but then I don't see my husband for 3 to 6 years. I don't want that either. So she's going and she's going to be kind of stuck in this place where she's far away from family, and she's far away from home. She doesn't really have a choice in that. And it's tough. She's a little stressed about it. There's a lot of tears. And she's nervous because she's going to be alone. And as we're talking about going through tough times, and I was thinking about this as I was kind of getting ready and we were getting ready to go for this party, I'm like, she's going to be gone and she doesn't really have a choice. It fit well into what we're going to be talking about today. Because today we're going to be talking about another person who was going somewhere they didn't want to go, who was doing something they didn't want to do, and who was going to be stuck there when they really had no choice. We're going to be talking about Daniel, a foreigner in a foreign land, an exile who's been taken out of Israel. Now, many people have word associations, and when you hear Daniel, usually you think one thing. So I'm going to look at some other word associations and see if you guys, this is going to be a play along with me. I need group interaction. So if I say something like fish and, what? Who said that? What did you say? Fish and game. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Okay. I heard fish and chips game, and I'm like, I've never played the fish and game. But that's a good, no, that's a valid point. All right, let's do another one. Let's see if we can all be on the same page. David and, they're not game, David and game? No, okay, good, just making sure. All right, how about Jack and, yeah, all right. How about peanut butter and, are you a New Englanders or not? Because it's not peanut butter and jelly here in New England, it's peanut butter and fluff. I learned that when I moved to New England. I said, my wife said, you want a peanut butter and fluff sandwich? I said, first of all, I don't know what that is. She said, well, it's peanut butter and marshmallow. And I said, what? She's like, you know, you spread marshmallow on a sandwich. I said, no, I don't know, and we need to talk about this. All right, and let's look at one more. Daniel and the lion's den, right? Many people, when they hear about Daniel, that's what they think Daniel and the lion's den. They think of this guy who was thrown in a lion's pit and didn't get eaten alive. And that's the story most people have of Daniel. But Daniel getting to that point is actually a very interesting story. Daniel getting to that point is a very difficult story. Because Daniel got this situation because of something called the Old Covenant. So we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament literally means, it's the translation, the Greek of it, but it means Old Covenant and New Covenant. That's what the word testament means. It's the Greek word, but it's Old Covenant and New Covenant. And so Daniel fell under the Old Covenant. It was before Jesus, and he fell under the Old Covenant where God said, he said, look, I'm going to lift you up, and you are my nation, you are my people. And here's how it works. If you follow me, I will hold you up, and I will keep you safe, and I will bless you. If you fall away from me and don't worship me, I will take my hedge of protection away from you, and I will allow your sin to consume you. And this was the covenant he had. And he set up the law so that people could say, look, here's the law. Here's what righteousness points towards. If you want to be righteous, all of these things have to happen. And people realized, that's impossible. He said, it is impossible. You need me still. This points to righteousness. You can't fulfill it. You need me to fulfill it for you, which is where we get the new covenant in Jesus that fulfilled the old covenant and created a new one with us. And so Daniel fell under this old covenant, and the nation of Israel got to a place where once again they were turning away from God, and they were turning away from his teachings, and they were turning away from following him, and God lifted his hedge of protection around him and said, I'm going to allow you and your sin to take hold of you once more. If you're not following me, I'm allowing you to fall to yourself. And so once again, see this in the very beginning of Daniel chapter 1. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, I had to learn to pronounce that really well. In the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, to chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So what happened is, they were conquered. The Israelites were conquered once again, and the king said, take some of these people and bring them back to Babylonia, and we'll train them up. People from the royal house, we'll train them in our ways, we'll teach them the language, they'll make them understand our customs, and we'll assimilate them into our culture. So now, they become Babylonians. And so now, it kind of eats away at their heritage from Israel, and they become one of us. And this was the king's plan. And so the nation of Israel was once again conquered, and they were once again exiled into a different land. And they had no more country of their own. Now, most people know the exiles of the Israelites. But the one they commonly know is one where they were in Egypt, and they were exiles in Egypt. Interestingly, the exile in Egypt lasted from about 1523 BCE to about 1313 BCE. That's about 210 years that they were in Egypt, that they were held there, and they were kept in the land of Egypt. Most people think of that as kind of like the big exile of the Jewish people. But this exile was actually much longer. This one started, and it was in Babylonia, in 423 BCE. But then, the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians, the Medes. And then, the Greeks. And then, the Romans. And so what happened is, the Jewish people, from the time of Daniel, they were put in exile, until the time of Jesus, they were in this dead man's land where they didn't have their own country, where they didn't have that hedge of protection around them from God, where he was allowing them to be enveloped in their own sin and allowing them to be taken over by other countries, but so that he could bring forth a new covenant in Messiah, Jesus. And so from this time, the Israelites are really in exile and in this horrible place where they don't have their own country anymore. They don't have their own identity. They're starting to be assimilated into another culture. And Daniel is one of the chief among these. He was a noble person. He was of nobility. He was a good-looking guy. He was pretty smart. And he learned a lot and what was real, had a great aptitude to understanding language and culture and everything else. And so he was taken and started to train. And he was trained with other people. And he quickly rose up in the ranks as the people in the kingdom saw him as, this guy has something special. The interesting thing through all of this is Daniel didn't assimilate into the culture and turn away from God, what they hoped would happen. He entered the culture. He entered into the culture, learned their ways, learned their language, did all this stuff, but through it all, he continued to stay faithful to God. It says in Daniel 1, verse 8, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. So even these people, they were going to be given royal food and royal wine, and he said, look, that's not right. God hasn't anointed this. It's not clean. I can't take part in this. And so even though he was in that culture, he was in exile and everything, he said, I still have to do what's right by my God. No matter what else is going on around me, I still need to follow him. See, he was continuing to be faithful to God. got to the point he said, look, just kill all the wise men. I'm tired of it. They don't know anything. They're all pretending, and I'm sick of it. And so Daniel went to his friends and said, we need to pray to God. We need to reach out to him. We need to have him help save us. We can't do it on our own. And so it says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 24, then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret this dream for him. See, God started working in Daniel and saying, look, here's what the dream is. Here's what it means. Now go and give that to the king. And over, if you read through Daniel, you'll start seeing that no matter what was going on, Daniel was staying faithful to God. And through that faithfulness, God continued to impart wisdom on Daniel. He continued to work through Daniel. And instead of saying, you're in exile in this land, and now I'm not going to take care of you, he said, you're in exile in this land, but you're still following me, so you still have my blessing, and you still have my protection, and you still have me watching over you. So through Daniel's faithfulness, God continued to give Daniel wisdom. And as Daniel continued to have wisdom and continued to share it with others, never bashful about where that wisdom came from, it started to change others. As he went to the king and explained this dream and talked to him and told him what it meant and told him how God had given it to him, the king was amazed. And he said, the king Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. See, Daniel was in exile in the land. He was taken away from everything he knew, taken away from his family, taken away from his culture, taken away from his freedom to worship God how he was used to worshiping. But he still followed God. He was still faithful to God. So God continued to give him wisdom. And Daniel, even through that difficult time, was able to continue to plant seeds and share God's love with others. And through his actions, he was able to point back to God so that people could start to understand who God was. See, Daniel was a person who recognized that, just like in that song, when I'm in the lowest valleys, let me lift your name on high. No matter what's going on, let me praise your name. No matter how hard things are, let me always bring glory to you. This is something that I think is really tough for us to sometimes recognize, that when we're going through the most difficult times is where we not only need to lean on God the most, but we need to continue lift his name on high, to continue to point to him, continue to let him work in our lives. It talks in the Bible about being, recognizing that when you go through tough times, when you go through trials, and you lean on God, that it brings perseverance, and perseverance brings joy. And when you start recognizing that God is watching over you, that he's taking care of you through those times when you're going through those valleys, and when you call on his name and point to him, there's something amazing that happens. Not only do you lean on him more and your relationship grows with him, but you can start pointing and giving glory to God for the situation. Many of us, I think, sometimes feel like we're Daniel, that we're in exile in a foreign land. And you sit there and go, you know, I'm living life. I'm kind of going through the motions, but I feel like I don't belong here, or I feel like I don't fit in. Or I feel like I'm going through such a hard time that no one else can understand. And we feel alone. And we feel separated. But the reality is, we don't have to be separated. The more we rely on God, the more we call on his name, the more we rely on each other to be encouraged and built up, the closer our relationships grow and the closer our faith gets to a relationship with him, with God. That we can continue to be in his word. We can continue to be talking to him in prayer. And we can continue to grow. Continue to allow him to work in our lives. Through all of this, Daniel over others that the king said, God is working in your life. I'm going to continue to give these things and continue to point towards me. And it got to such a point that he was going to be one of the greatest people in all the land. And by this time, the Persians had taken over Babylonia. So Babylon was gone. It's now Persian Empire. And he's now serving the Persians and giving wisdom to them, allowing God to work for him in that way. It got to a point where people were sick of him. People were going, who is this foreigner? How come he's continued to be lifted up? How come he continues to do well? How come he's continued to give these places? We want to take him down. And that brings us right back to kind of where we started this, of Daniel in the lion's den. As people were saying, how do we get rid of this guy? So they went to the king and said, you know what would work really well, great mighty king? You should have people pray to you for 30 days. And only you. You're the God among the people. Let them pray to you. Wouldn't that be a good thing? And being the king, he said, yeah, I think it would. I like that idea. They should pray to me. And so he set up this royal decree. And it was really to trap Daniel. Because they knew Daniel was faithful. They knew Daniel loved God. So Daniel, despite the decree, continued to go in and continued to get on his knees and pray to God 3 times a day, every single day. They found out about it because they were watching him. And they took it before the king and said, he broke your law, he broke your decree, and you said the punishment would be thrown in the lion's den. So by your decree, you have to. The king, who liked Daniel, said, I don't want to do this. But by royal decree, he had to. If he broke his word on that, his power would become nothing because his word was the law. And if he broke his own word, he broke his own law, he had no more power anymore. So he took Daniel and he threw him in the lion's den. And Daniel stayed down there all night. In the morning, they rolled the stone away. And the king yelled down and said, Daniel, are you okay? And this was Daniel's response. Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. See, Daniel followed God. He was faithful to God. God gave him wisdom, protected him, and then put a hedge of protection around him because even though the nation of Israel wasn't following him, Daniel still was. And Daniel was still there. Did it mean things went easy for Daniel? Nope. This guy had some rough times. I mean, he was thrown in a lion's den surrounded by lions who were ready to eat him. Like, that was the plan, is you're going to die when you go in the lion's den. There's no getting away from it. He went through difficulties. He went through trials. But he continued to stay faithful to God. And God continued to protect him. And I think one of the reasons that Daniel stayed faithful to God is because Daniel recognized that he was a foreigner in a foreign land. He recognized he was exiled. But he didn't want that to be that way forever. Daniel had hope. He had hope that at some point, this situation would end. He had hope that at some point God would rescue them. That they would go back, to the nation of Israel. They would be a nation once again. They would have their own land. He had hope that God's covenant would be fulfilled as the nation turned back to him. So the thing that Daniel had was hope. He had hope for the future. He had hope for his life. But he had hope and he had trust that God was faithful. That when God said he would do something, he would. And he had hoped he would be out of the situation at some point. And this is really the same place a lot of us are when we go through battles. When we're in transit in these times between good times. That we sit there and we go, we need hope. If you sit there and you recognize that I am in this place and I'm never getting out and nothing's going to ever change, that is depressing. That is a tough time. I've talked a little bit up at the Rochester Hill, but I haven't had a chance to share it with you guys. But for the last 6 years, I've been pretty much pain-free. 2013, I had a miraculous healing. My leg no longer hurt, and I've been in a good spot for 6 years. That I've been able to do things. I've been able to work out. I've been able to have fun. I've run Tough Mudders. I've gone hiking. I've traveled all over the world with my wife. It's been awesome. And about a month ago, my leg started hurting again a little bit, and it got worse. Now it got worse. And I'm back to the point right now where I was 6 years ago, where every step hurts, and where it hurts to walk, and it hurts to sit, and it hurts to lay down. Are you getting the gist of how it hurts? It hurts all the time. It's very painful. And I'm really struggling right now, because I'm sitting there going, God, I really liked the situation we had before this. I liked how we kind of had this, remember, no more pain? That was a good one. Let's go back to that. Last week, as I had to preach on Job, I recognized that that sermon was less for everyone else and more for me. That I need to recognize that when Job says, how can I praise God through the good if I can't praise Him through the bad? I recognize that's my life. I need to be able to praise God through the good times, worship Him through the tough times. But I will tell you, I still have hope. Because I don't love being in the place I'm at. I don't love dealing with pain. It's tough when you wake up in pain, and you live in pain through the day, and you go to bed in pain, and you go, I know when I wake up, that routine starts all over again. That's where depression sets in, and that's where tough times. Why? Because we lose hope. And we go, this is all there's ever going to be. And I'm going to be stuck in this valley, stuck in transit for the rest of my life. And that can be a really difficult place. But the truth is, every single one of us is an exile. Every single one of us goes through difficult times. Every single one of us are in a place where we're not really home yet. We have a home. We have a future home. And we have to have hope of what that is going to be. Hope in Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4, praise to be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. There is hope in this world. There is hope in each one of our lives. That is where I am placing my hope, to recognize that even though my leg may fail, even though my leg may perish, even though the pain will be there, it doesn't matter, because guess what? I have hope in a living Christ, in the resurrection of Jesus, in an inheritance that I have because of Him that can never perish, can never spoil, and can never fade away. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have a relationship with Him, then guess what? Your hope is secure. Your hope is secure in Him, because He will never fail. He will never perish. He is eternal. And He said, through my resurrection, you have hope in me. You have a new living hope that is in me. And guess what? I'm keeping it in heaven for you. There's an inheritance that's waiting for you. An inheritance because you're now my adopted child and you belong to me. And when we belong to Jesus, we have hope. We have hope for what's to come. I can't imagine what different people could be going through right now in this congregation. The struggles you may be in. I'm sure there are people in pain. I'm sure there are people in tough relationships. I'm sure there are medical issues, addiction issues, all kinds of things. If we focus on those things and dwell on them of where we're at, we get stuck in this intransit. We get stuck in this time. But if we focus on Jesus, and we focus on the hope of the future, we recognize no matter where we're at, there is something better ahead. No matter where we're at, we have I put my hope in my own willpower, if I put my hope in my own strength, guess what? It is a hope that will fail. Why? Because I'm putting it in things that are already broken. Things that are already going to fail. Things that, by their very nature, are not pure and perfect. But if I put my hope in Jesus Christ, and if we put our hope in Jesus Christ, then I will be completely honest. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. And it seems tough. Why? Because it is tough. It is difficult. It does hurt. It does break us down. It does tear us apart. It creates depression, all these things. But it doesn't matter what it is or where you're at. Why? Because Jesus is bigger. God is greater. And we are simply foreigners in a foreign land right now that are still waiting to come home. Still waiting to see our inheritance in heaven. Still waiting for the time where we get to be together with God. Where we get to find a place where we go. We're finally home where you are here. And if you put your life in that hope, in the hope of Jesus Christ, in the hope of God, you will never be disappointed. You will never be let down. You will never fade away. Why? Because his hope is pure, it's true, it's eternal. And nothing anyone can do or the world can do will ever make it perish or fall away. That is where we need to put our hope as a church, as a people, and have it at the center of our lives for all things. Let's go ahead and pray together. Dear Lord, thank you so much that we could be here today. Thank you, God, that we could continue to call on your name, that we could reach out to you, that we could be in your presence, even when we don't deserve it. Because the truth is, we never deserve it. We don't deserve your righteousness, your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, God, but you continue to give it to us freely. You promise it to us. And it's a promise we can hold on to. God, I pray that as people right now have their eyes closed and just focusing on you, God, talking to you, having conversation with you. God, I pray that if anyone's sitting here in a tough time, if they're in a difficult situation, if they're going through that valley, if they're in transit right now, God, that they would call on you right now and say, I need your hope. Your hope, God, for the future. And Lord, as people call on you, I pray that you reach out and touch their hearts. Give them comfort. Give them peace. Give them joy in the situation. Not because the situation necessarily goes away, God, but because now you're involved in it. Because they're focused on you. And their heart is set on you. And their mind is kingdom focused instead of things in this world. Lord, I pray that you would be the hope for every person in this room. That a future and an eternity with you. That a life where they are rescued from the troubles of this world. And as they have that hope in you, God, that all of us would continue to be your light to this world. That we would be your hands and feet, and that we would go and plant seeds, God, just as Daniel planted seeds for you. That through every situation we go through, we would continue to bring you glory, continue to lift your name on high, and continue to show the world that without you, God, there's nothing. I pray these things.